So welcome to our Father's Day celebration here at Church in the Marketplace. And if you're listening online, things are a little different today. We're glad you joined us and we pray that God will bless you today. We've just spoken to some of our dads about how to bring out the best in our kids. How do we be an excellent dad? And we talked about some things like how we prepare our kids for life, how we protect our kids in some of life's storms, how we play with our kids for fun, how we point our kids to God. So how do we address some of those responsibilities? Very quickly, here are five foundations to help us be E-males, excellent males, excellent dads. I have made lots of copies of a little summary. So dads in particular, but every family, if you want to grab one of those and take them home, you'll see the text that summarise what we're talking about this morning. As we prepare to think about that, let's pray. Lord, thank you that your word and who Jesus was helps us to understand more about you as our Father, and that helps us understand how we might be dads in our particular situations and circumstances. So, Lord, we thank you for your word and pray that it will be helpful for us as we seek to be good dads in the lives of our kids. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the exciting thing is that most of the things that I want to share with you, I think, got picked up by the questions that we talked about this morning. How do we be good dads? I think the first thing is we accept our kids' uniqueness. The first principle, if we're going to bring out the best in our kids, is we accept and value their individuality. We have to start with accepting them before we can help them to grow. And one of the most misunderstood verses, I think, in the Bible is Proverbs 22, verse 6. It's a famous verse. It says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." And some people think if we raise our kids in a godly way, if we train them in the right way, then when they get older, they'll really live for God and they'll never turn away from God. And folks, that's just not true. You maybe know kids who were raised in a good, godly way, but somewhere they took a turn and they totally messed up their lives. So here's a couple of things just to notice about that text. The first is it's a proverb. A proverb is something that is generally true. It's not that there aren't any exceptions. There are always exceptions. But it's saying generally this is true, that if we raise our kids the right way, most of them are going to turn out okay. But there are exceptions, and it's certainly not a guarantee. It's a proverb, not a promise. Second thing we need to understand is that the original Hebrew, train up a child in the way he should go, can mean three different things. First, it can train our child up. First, it means to train up our child in the stage of life that they're in, and I think Alan was talking about that. It means we don't treat a preschooler like a teenager. We understand that at each stage of life, there's an appropriate way to train and to teach and to respond, and there's an appropriate amount of responsibility they should have at each age and stage. And it's well documented. I mean, one of our struggles today is we force kids to grow up too quickly. We force them to know things that they don't need to know at an earlier and earlier stage in life. And there are ideas out there about life and sin and sexuality and all that kind of stuff a little kid doesn't need to know, and they don't need to be exposed to all the crime and all the perversions and all the weird things in the world. We as parents need to protect our kids in various stages of life. Second thing, training them up in the way he should go means training them up according to their strengths. We need to know what our kids are good at, who God has gifted them to be. And then our job as a parent is to train them in the way they should go. Not in the direction we want them to go. We accept their uniqueness. Third, we understand their style. In other words, their temperament, their personality, and the way that they should go. No matter how hard we try, we're not going to change an extrovert into an introvert. They're just wired that way by God. And I guess it's normal for us as parents to want to train all our kids in the same sort of way. We think that's being fair. Treat them all the same way. There's only one problem with that. It doesn't work. Because our kids aren't exactly the same. So they need to be treated in different ways. Not unfairly, but in different ways. Some kids come out of the womb saying, "Yes, Dad, how can I help?" And other kids come out of the womb saying, "No, you can't make me." It's a matter of genetics. if we try and treat them the same way, it's not going to work. We can discipline two kids the same way, and one, it crushes them, and the other one's laughing all the way to the bank. We're just different. The Amplified Version of that text says, train up a child in keeping with his individual gifts or bent. 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, God works through different people in different ways. So, Dad, you're not like anybody else, and our children aren't, or their brothers and sisters. They're all different. God made us all different, and I think intentionally. In the first place, life would be incredibly boring if everybody was like me. I might think it's great, but incredibly boring. And second, there'd be a lot that was left undone. If we all like to do the same thing, then a lot would get left undone that nobody likes to do. So fortunately, God makes us all different, so everything gets done in the world. And one of the great tasks of parenting is to help our kids recognize that uniqueness. Not only do we need to accept it, we need to help them recognize their uniqueness, that they don't have to be like anybody else, that they're originals. They don't need to compare themselves with anybody else. They're not in competition with anybody else. That's a fundamental truth we have to teach our kids. And it's a very difficult parenting task for two reasons. The pressure of conforming and the pressure of comparing. Those two things work against us as parents. First, the pressure of conforming. Dad, everybody's doing it. Everybody's got one. So there's the pressure. I ought to have it or do it too. And then there's the pressure of comparing. It's a national pastime. Our culture teaches us to compare everything. So we compare IQs, we compare how we look, we compare athletic ability, we compare income, we compare front yards and back lawns, and we compare cars and clothes, and everything in the world is now reduced to a list. The 10 greatest, the 10 best, the 10 sexiest, the 10 worst. And the thing is, it doesn't mean anything, because all of us are unique. Galatians 6:4 says, each person should judge their own actions and not compare himself with others. Then he can be proud of what he himself has done. How can we tell if we're a parent, if we've accepted our child's uniqueness? Simple, really. We stop trying to make them like us. We stop trying to mold them in our image, and start letting them become who God made them to be, his image. So many parents try to make kids carbon copies of themselves. They say, I excelled in this subject at school, so naturally they're going to excel in it. Or I was good at this sport, and naturally they're going to be good at this sport. Or even worse, I like this sport, so they must like it too. But maybe not. God didn't bring our children into the world to satisfy our egos. God brought our children into the world to be who he wants them to be. So our goal is to mold our kids, not in our image. Our goal is to help them discover who God made them to be. I guess what I'm saying is this: kids are not clay to be molded. They're human beings to be unfolded. That's the goal, to be unfolded. There's a second way to be a dad who our kids will love, I think, and that's to affirm their value. Why is that important, to affirm their value? Because everybody is starving for affirmation. Never met a person who doesn't need affirmation. Why is it important to affirm our kids' value? Because God values every one of us. Jesus, you might know the story in Matthew 10, talks about, not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without our Heavenly Father knowing it, and we are much more valuable to him than a whole flock of sparrows. I know on Father's Day we realise, some of us, that we didn't grow up with perfect parents, and because of that we sometimes wonder about our value. So let me just set that to rest right now. God values you. More than you could possibly imagine, God values what he wants to do in every one of your lives. Psalm 139 says, God made all the delicate parts of my body, and he knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Our workmanship is marvelous. So how do we do this? How do we affirm our kids' value? The next verses talk about it, how God does it for us. Matthew 10, verse 30 says, God pays great attention to us, down to the last detail, even the numbering of hairs on our head. Every detail of our lives, God appreciates it and notices it. And we can affirm our kids by noticing them. Just by looking at them, eye contact has incredible power when it comes to expressing and sharing values. Turn from what we're doing and look at them. Now I know, sometimes I have a blank look, a preoccupation with what's going on here and what's going on there while my kids are talking to me, maybe while you're talking to me, so just let me confess it. Lord, please help me to get that blank look out of my eyes and look at them. The second way of showing affection is in Hosea 11, verse 4. I drew them to me with affection and with love. I picked them up and held them to my cheek. People need loving touches. I know we've got to be careful about that, but our kids need hugs. I know sometimes as they get older, we think they don't need them anymore, but kids always need hugs. And they always need our loving affection. When we do that, it values them. And then the third thing we can do following God's example is express appreciation. Isaiah 30, 43 says, God says, you are precious to me, you are honored, and I love you. Sydney housing market people will know when something appreciates, it raises in value, like a house. Every time we appreciate our kids, we raise their value. How often do people need affirmation? The book of Hebrews says it's a daily thing, a daily habit in our lives. People have done some research that shows when it comes to positive and negative words, when we say something positive to a kid for doing something good, it's worth one positive point. When we say something positive to them for being who they are, that's worth 10 positive points. If we say something negative to a child for doing something wrong, that's minus 10 points. If we say something negative for being who they are, that's minus 100 points. You kind of get the gist of it. That's how we tend to remember the negative things. Research shows us that people tend to live up to what's expected of them. So who do we need to encourage today? A word of encouragement does wonders. Dad, which of our kids do we need to encourage? Quickly, the third foundation is to trust them with responsibility. We accept their uniqueness. We affirm their value. The third key to good fathering is to trust them with responsibility. Nothing brings out our best faster than having somebody believe in us. Luke 16 says, whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted with a lot. And if you cannot be trusted with things that belong to someone else, who will give you things of your own? People respond to responsibility. Responsibility or responsible means response able. We're able to respond. When we give people responsibility, we give them the ability to respond. God says we trust them with little things, then greater and greater and greater things. So one of the most important skills in life is learning to be responsible. And some of our dads picked that up this morning. No one in our society, I guess, teaches responsibility as much as parents. Many parts of society are teaching blame. We're a victim. It's not our fault. Blame the world, blame circumstances, blame our parents. But the only way to accept responsibility is to be given it, and given the opportunity to be responsible. The fact is, whenever we take responsibility for someone, we take it away from that person. When I take responsibility for your actions, I'm taking it away from you. As a parent, when our kids are babies, we're responsible for them. But as they grow, we change from responsibility for them to responsibility to them. What's our responsibility to our children? To be a good parent. We don't make them dependent on us. Part of our bringing out the best in our children is sometimes to allow them to fail. I think Alan was talking about that. So when our children fail, don't allow them to blame others. Galatians says we're each responsible for our own conduct. We have to teach them that by trusting them with responsibility. Fourth thing we can do, dads, for our kids is correct without condemning. So we can get it here somewhere. That's the wrong one, Peter. Too many buttons. There's not one of us who doesn't need correction at times. Our kids, every one of us, none of us is perfect. No, none of us is perfect. So we need to correct without condemning. God does it with us. The Bible says he corrects those that he loves. It's just not always easy. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Discipline your children while they're young enough to learn. If you don't, you're only helping them destroy themselves." Proverbs 13 says, "If you refuse to discipline your children, it proves you don't love them." How do we do it in a wise way? Because it's hard to correct without condemning. Here's a couple of words of advice from the Bible that can help us. First of all, never correct in anger. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with loving discipline, with suggestions and godly advice." Correcting in anger always creates resentment in return. We're always going to reap what we sow. So if we're angry, take a walk around the block. Calm down a bit. Disciplining anger is just getting even. Second one is Ephesians 4:29. Don't use harmful words. Use only helpful words, the kind that should build up. So harmful words create hurtful memories. They plant seeds of rebellion. On the other hand, the Bible says we're supposed to speak the truth in love. We don't lie. We don't pretend that the correction doesn't need to be done. So dads, when you and I take the time to create helpful words and speak the truth in love, it has incredible power to change hearts. Yeah? And the last thing, the fifth foundation of excellent fathering is to love our kids unconditionally. So we accept their uniqueness, we affirm their value, we trust them with responsibility, we correct without condemning, and we love unconditionally. And there are two ways we do it. The first is by offering them forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and loving to each other, forgiving each other, just as God forgave us in Christ." Of course, we're going to be hurt as a parent, but godly parents keep on loving. Just as we've been forgiven, we forgive others, including our kids. The other way we offer love unconditionally is we never give up on our kids. 1 Corinthians says, "Love knows no limits to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope." It, love, can outlast anything. Real love does not give up on people. Even when they get into drugs, even when their lives get messed up in a relationship, it never gives up. So what we all need is somebody who never gives up on us. One of the most helpful things we can do, dads, is help people to forgive others. Once we've been forgiven by God, we've come and confessed something to God, often we still don't feel forgiven. Often we need somebody in our lives saying, "It's over, we're forgiven, God has forgiven us." We can be the voice of God in our kids' lives. We learn to forgive and we help them to forgive themselves. Somebody said, "A great dad doesn't rub it in, he rubs it out." Remember that time? No, you don't say that. It's rubbed out, it's forgiven, it's forgotten. So I want us to give kids a second chance because God's given us many second chances. I'm just asking us to pass it on. Isaiah 54 says, "The mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end, so says the Lord who loves us." The mountains and the hills can crumble. You know, we may go through all kinds of things ourselves or with our kids, moral, physical, emotional, financial earthquakes, but God says there is one thing you can count on. I'm never, never, never going to stop loving you. So, Dad, these five actions of fathering are just the five ways that God treats us. Our Heavenly Father accepts our uniqueness here. Affirms our value. God says, "I trust you with responsibility." He corrects without condemning, and he loves us unconditionally. God wants us to do with our children just what he already does with us. Proverbs 14 says, "Reverence for God gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. Let's pray. Lord, David's prayer in the Psalms, and it's our prayer too. I will try to walk a blameless path, but God, how I need your help, especially in my home, where I long to act as I should. Lord, you're our Heavenly Father. We want to treat people, our kids, the way you treat us. Help us to accept the uniqueness of our kids, not try and make them in our mold, but to value them as they are. Help us to see their value by paying attention and showing affection and expressing appreciation. Help us to grow and develop our kids by believing in them and trusting them with responsibility instead of criticizing and comparing and complaining. And when we have to correct our kids, help us to watch our words and never do it in anger. Help us to forgive and to never give up on our kids. Thank you, Lord, that you love us unconditionally and you've forgiven us for all the silly mistakes we've made. Help us to show that same grace to our kids too. Lord, I pray that you will bless each father and each man here with your wisdom and your strength and your peace and your purpose, and most of all, with your presence. I pray this in the name of Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.